Good afternoon, councillors. I'd like to welcome you to this council meeting on the 28th of May, and I have pleasure in declaring the council meeting open. We are expecting a visitor, and depending on how late that person might be, we'll determine whether she actually joins the meeting. We have an apology from Alan Sattler. He's in Perth today doing his exam for his flying. He's getting a upgraded instrument rating licence, so he's any applications for leave of absence? John, you'll be back from Vietnam?
No, next week, when I'm in Vietnam.
In June?
June, I missed the June meeting.
Okay, so that's been recorded?
Your request at last meeting.
We have nothing in terms of question time, and pleasingly we have had no members of our community pass away in the past month. So moving on to item 7 for the minutes of the ordinary meeting held on the 23rd of April. May I please have a mover and seconder for those seats? Councillor Martin, Councillor Lawler. Any matters of concern in those minutes? Everyone happy? All in favour, please. Thank you. 7-0. The minutes of the Chief Executive Officer Recruitment Panel meeting held on the 21st of May. That meeting was concluded. The minutes of that meeting to be received. May I have a mover, Councillor Ridgeway, Councillor Maxwell. All in favour? Thank you. And we have a copy of those minutes under. So we move straight into planning services. I hand over to the Manager of Planning, Mr. Stephen De Beer. Thank you. Sorry. So 9.1, yep. You want your recommendations? Thank you, Councillor Ridgeway. Seconder, Councillor Martin. Follow up you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Yeah, so we have before us the retirement village application. Council would be well aware of the proposal. It has seen a few iterations that require us to re-advertise, revise submission. There were a few loose ends that the applicant did tie up, especially in terms of the lack of a bushfire management plan, as was required and communicated as such for the initial submission. One was indeed submitted with comments forthcoming from the Department of Fire and Emergency Services that requires slight amendments and modifications to the submitted bushfire management plan, which I have suggested be in the condition of planning approval. All of that being said, I have no evidence of DFES actually having done a physical site inspection, so they would have automatically followed a precautionary approach to the recommendation to the bushfire management plan that was submitted. So subsequent to their response being received, I communicated DFES's response, I communicated that to the applicant, and they've drafted a revised bushfire management plan, which they never gave me until I've followed up on that about a week ago. Even so, so that didn't form part of the submission to council now, because that was never advertised. Even so, it does address all of those things that I had concerns about. So if council decides to approve it, they've already met some of the conditions that I have proposed as such. That's the one component that was with outstanding at this point in time. The others, I have made planning conditions in regards to stormwater management. It's not clear in the submission received how that's going to be dealt with. I've made that suggested that we made a condition of planning approval. A whole of site stormwater drainage management plan needs to be submitted before commencement of construction. Similar to refuse management, landscaping plan, etc. I think the most important thing for council to know is that we've got a dual zoning on this lot, partly residential, partly light industry. From my perspective, as well as confirmation from the Department of Planning, Lands and Heritage, the proposed use can be regarded as being compatible in any of those zones. So hence the positive recommendation of council to approve it. It has to be noted that this is probably the biggest private sector investment in Beverly any time during its history, which is to be acknowledged, and it is going to be hugely beneficial, we believe, I believe, to the broader community for the future.
So your recommendation comes with an awful lot of conditions, commencing with the words prior to occupation.
Correct.
I hope so.
And are you feeling comfortable that they fully understand the requirements, or do you feel that they're having to be constantly reminded of this?
It will be an exercise for the future, Mr. President. I did consider whether to include some of those conditions or not. What I don't want us to end up with is a tourist resort where it is supposedly a retirement village, because it's not, that would not be revealing the true intent of the development or the zoning. I mean, there's a whole raft. Not that I think it's necessarily going to be an issue. What potentially can happen from this point forward, if council approves this in its current format, they can come back to us to challenge any of the conditions so imposed, but they need to say to me why they do not want that. I feel every single condition that I recommend be imposed is valid and supports the purpose of the intended, I'm being told, land use that is envisaged to be done.
So what ability do we have to monitor these conditions prior to them getting to the point of occupation so that they don't sidestep anything and cut corners? Do we have a process that we can follow?
Yeah, that will probably come back to myself and Tim, the building surveyor, to monitor compliance with these. It's generally a Shire mandated responsibility to monitor.
Because it would seem if we don't monitor these things, we could finish up with a dog's breakfast and a huge argument when it's all built.
That's right. We've never taken that route before, but there are significant penalties afforded for the Shire if a planning condition is not adhered to. It's very clear cut in the legislation. There's significant financial penalties and so forth. So there is certainly a stick rather than a carrot to get them to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And we'll just be hopeful that they are pure in their intentions.
I'm going to be monitoring this.
I somehow doubt
it. Monitor it.
It seems, yeah.
Through you, Stephen. Am I right in assuming that we're approving a retirement village and then there they will also have to stick to what a retirement village is as well, what those rules and regulations are?
Absolutely correct. So there's actually, and you would know this, the Retirement Villages Act and Regulations, it's in 96. So you cannot call it a retirement village if it is not run under a retirement village scheme as per the Act. And that's why I say they need to put that on the title. It's also a requirement. It's not that clear in my report, but it's actually also a requirement in the residential design codes that that be put on title, because that protects any tenant in there that buys into the scheme, that it will be used as a retirement village forever and a day, so that your rights cannot be affected by the developer deciding otherwise. We've had that notification on title with the Dawson Street properties, and we want to possibly use it for something else, and we had to remove that memorial on title to be able to do that. So this just, I think, gives the Shire a bit more comfort that it is actually what they want to do, is a retirement village, nothing more, nothing less, by having that on title. It's a legal requirement. If they challenge that, they need to tell me why.
There is one thing that just raised a flag with me, apart from them with their rubbish collection and footpaths and comments, but it was this one here on page 20. A retirement village provides accommodation for people aged over 55 years of age or retired from full-time work. Now, is it one of the... It sounds similar to these over 55s
villages that they go to. It doesn't sound to me like a retirement village. I mean, with, you know, yeah, are they covering their bases there? It's the applicant's response on page 20.
Look, I think if I may answer on their behalf, I know what the response was. The actual operational side of how the facility will be managed going forward sort of stands slightly separate from the land use consideration before council today. It's more towards the operational side of things, how they want to let that evolve. The principle being that they will have to adhere to the retirement villages act
guidelines.
Correct. And I mean, it's a statutory record. They will have to comply with that.
Yeah.
It's required from a statutory point of view. They cannot move outside of that and still call it a retirement village. There's other checks and balances, I guess is what I'm saying, from the operational side of things.
Yes, sir.
But essentially, we're dealing with the land use today.
Yeah.
And we know that's permissible in that side.
Just some of their responses that have been noted, I've just read through, and like it's like pulling teeth. It seems to me like it's you're being very calm and
the communication with them was not good from a Shire's perspective.
Has it improved?
Pardon me?
Has it improved?
No. It's hard to deal with that specific consultant. Because he's not a town planner, and I say this with the greatest amount of respect. It would have been better if the land use planning application being considered today was done by a professional town planning consultant, not an architect. I don't doubt the ability of his acumen in that space. But it leaves a lot of holes in the planning, land use planning side of things, which I unfortunately had to fill in and condition.
Any other questions to Councillor Ridgeway?
So bearing in mind that this is a planning application consideration, which you just pointed out, moving forward, once there's implementation, which I understand we're not dealing with that at the moment, considering the complexities that have been involved with the planning application, my concern perhaps, even though I think this is a fantastic project, are we going to continue to have those issues if the appropriate people aren't in the areas that they need to be for implementation? Is it going to be an ongoing concern and burden on the Shire administration resources to be following up all the time? For example, a project officer overseeing the whole thing. I know I'm digressing from what we're addressing at the moment, but it's just in the back of my mind, and it probably gets back a bit to what Councillor Brown's concerned about as well. So the appropriate people need to be in charge of a certain aspects of the project moving forward, because the Shire doesn't have the resources to be doing it on their behalf, and nor should we be either. So I guess it's more of a comment perhaps, but and just raising that concern in the back of my mind.
I think there's one point of leverage that we might need to use under these specific circumstances, and we would be entirely within our right to do so. All of the conditions that says prior to commencement of construction, we can potentially not issue the building permit until such time as we have received the outstanding documentation as required with the conditions.
So that would be our governing factor then?
That's right. I can sit down with Tim and we can make a plan. I think the moment that the developer realizes that we will be watching whatever happens, then it might change the sentiments. And,
sorry.
It remains to be seen.
Maybe so that sounds terrific. Do we have the opportunity of including something in there to give direction to have the correct oversight moving forward for the stages of the project? So they basically need to have a town planner in the first instance, consultant, but moving forward, whatever the title is of the person, there needs to be a project manager who understands what the processes are. Can that be included at all, suggested? No, perhaps not.
Probably not.
Well, it sounds like an issue in the building licence would be the, would be the governing factor, so I'm going to come back to the Shire for that.
That's right.
Are there any other questions?
So what I'm saying is we can approve the land use, but then issuing the building permit is a separate issue. And these conditions may be able to, you know, be enforced at that point in time. I believe so, yes.
Okay.
Good idea.
Okay. So no other questions. With all that in mind, the motion put to the council. All those in favour of this motion, please raise your hands. Anyone against? Councillor Brown, you're against?
No, I'll vote with it, but I have reservations.
Okay. 7-0, thank you. Okay, moving on to item 9.2, which is the development of a holiday house. We offer the recommendation on page 110. May I please have a mover and a seconder for that? Councillor Lawler, Councillor Davis. Over to you again, Stefan.
A lot less complicated this one. Straightforward, holiday house, permissible under the planning scheme, is provided the necessary documentation and responses to submissions that that he will try and do the right thing. No objection from my end.
Any questions to Stefan on this ballot? If not, sorry, Councillor Ridgway.
Not so much a question I had per se, but the one that it's on, is that block tree?
It is
vegetated fully with trees.
It is absolutely.
So it's a tree farm.
Yep, it looks like it could have been a tree farm, and strangely enough, it is not within the bushfire brand mapping area, which would have required me to request a bushfire management plan, but it's not, so I had no legal grounds to come in request such.
Any other questions? If not, I have a vote on this, please. All those in favour. Thank you, 7-0. Somewhat lost here, I've just got to find my place again. I think we're on to 11.1 if I'm 11.1, so the officer's recommendation on page 120. May I have a mover and seconder, please? Councillor Martin, Councillor Maxwell. Stein, we're all over to you. And with all this money flowing into the show.
Thanks, Mr. President. Yeah, so we had a chat before the meeting about some of the additional interest earnings that we've had this year and some of the additional private works funds that we've got coming in. We determined that we're going to be transferring that surplus into reserves, various different funds. Are there any questions regarding any of the notes to material variances as presented?
Good detail.
Otherwise, I've received a couple of questions on notice from Councillor Ridgway. The first one was in regards to the car park development behind this building, so the Civic Centre and the office car parking area. The query was about the comparison between what the project cost to what we were originally quoted. So it must have been last financial year we went out to tender to get some pricing on what that job was going to be. It came in over $700,000, but we've been able to do it in-house. It'll be about $250,000. So significant saving there. We spent $239,000 to date. We've still got a bit of line marking to do. So it'll come in around that $250,000 mark. But yeah, great job by Steve. His coordination efforts and a significant saving really for the ratepayers at the end of the day, because we funded all of that. So that was a great outcome. And the second query was about Anzac Day and what councils contributed to that this year. So it was less than $3,000, and the majority of that was for the PA setup and the projector, which was about $2,600, and then $100 for the reef, which we fund every year anyway. And then there was some printing of programs and some staff time, picking up chairs and dropping them off, whatever else. So $3,000 roundabouts for the Anzac Day.
Well spent too. That was the best dawn service I've ever been to.
Yeah, dawn service was great. Well, there's a little bit of work to do on the 11 a.m, but that's all right. It's the first go.
No, it was very personal, and it was everyone that was there, even people that were from out of town were commenting.
Yeah, that was a great crowd, actually. It was excellent. So that's good. And then in terms of, I guess we're getting into budgeting sort of time now, I'll present a few items at the next meeting in June around fees and charges, and probably our capital program as well for endorsement. There's quite a lot on the list this year, and what we do every year, we're going to be doing a bit of cutting.
Yep.
And we'll have a good discussion about rates as well on where councils are sitting in that realm.
So that's further questions on the finance? If not, I have a vote on this one. All those in favour of the motion, please. Page 7-0. 11.2, the officer's recommendation for the payments for accounts paid by authority on page 130. May I please have a word with Councillor Brown, Councillor Lawler. Those items are there for your perusal, Councillors. You've all been through them. You obviously have some questions, so feel free to. And when you do, could you just identify yourself for the sake of the recording? No one's any questions? Well, the secret, Simon, is just keep making this list longer.
Yeah.
If there are no questions, all those in favour of the motion, please. Thank you. 7-0. Right, local government election arrangements. Remove the officer's recommendation on page 142. Move it to seconder, please. Councillor Martin, Councillor Davis, who wants to deal with this?
Well, I can. Pretty much, obviously, the WA Electoral Commission has ordered us some documentation in regards to the upcoming local elections, and we just need to resolve that we will proceed with using them again.
Will be Chief Operations Officer at NASA headquarters in Houston. It's disappointing that we have to use the Electoral Commission. I think this is a retrograde step in local government conducting their own affairs. I think nothing is achieved by it, and certainly optional preferential voting is just absolutely ludicrous. But we're stuck with it.
Yeah.
So all those in favour of this motion.
Can I just say
sorry,
what is the optional part of optional preferential
voting? How many numbers you fill in on your box?
Okay.
You can fill in one, you can fill in all. And if you fill in more than one box, you have to number them. If you just mark them with a cross or a tick, your vote's invalid.
Okay.
And that's what the community needs to understand. You can fill them, just tick one box, that'll be okay. But if you mark more than one box, you must number them sequentially so that the preferential system can kick in.
That's exactly right, state voting.
It is, but you don't have to fill in all squares.
You can fill in one. We can fill in one, two,
yep.
We can fill them all in.
And my final comment, which I'm sure I speak on behalf of everyone, this is absolutely outrageous that we're paying at least three times more than what it would normally cost previously.
Mm.
It's shocking.
I agree.
And the worst part about this is that when we ran the elections, it was a community event. When the polling closed, people would gather in the chambers. The council would put on refreshments after the count, but the count would take possibly 20 minutes. It was on the screen, everyone could see how the votes were tallying up. At the end of it, you went to the last page, yep. Did a sort, and you had your councillors elected. That was the end of it. So it adds nothing. All right, all those in favour of this motion? Count 7-0, or 6.5-0, but 7-0.
I find it very hard.
12.2, application to keep multiple dogs. The officer's recommendation is on page 148. May I please have a member to second it? Councillor Martin, Councillor Davis. Over you, Mr. CEO.
Yeah, an application's been received to have had multiple dogs in Bedley, and we're saying that that is okay. So, the neighbours surrounding the properties have been asked for comment, and there's been no objections received, and the ranger had spoken to the owners as he went there for another reason, and from those conversations, the applications came in.
Are there any questions to the CEO on this matter, Councillor Ripley?
I had a question in regard to whether the neighbours had been consulted, and that's been clarified that they were. So normally that type of information is incorporated in the agenda item. And also wondering why they had so many dogs and how long have they been there. And my understanding after making progress with the CEO is that it was discovered by the ranger because he was there for another purpose. So it's been presented to us a little bit differently to how we've received these applications before, I believe.
Any other questions? All in favour of the motion, please. Thank you. 7-0. Moving on to 12.3, the workforce plan. The officer's recommendation is on page 155. May I have a mover and a seconder for that, please? Councillor Ridgway. Councillor Maxwell, thank you. We have a presentation on this morning. I'll leave it to the CEO to sum up that meeting this morning and answer any questions that you might have had since that presentation.
Yeah, thanks, Guy. Yeah, as Council's aware, Darren Molyneux from 150 Squares presented this report to us this morning, and now it's really just to formally adopt it. If Council has any alterations or changes they wish to be made, they can be made with this. And then really the second part of the recommendation is that the CEOB implement the proposals or the actions plans out the workforce plan for 25, 26 to 28 to 29. So once again, if Council has any comments to be made, or
Councillor Brown?
Mr. CEO, with this legislation, is it a take it all or work with what you have and mould it into this framework, or do you have to work totally to the framework in this, or can you?
Well, it's a council plan.
Yep.
We can only work with what we can work with.
Yep.
State government has legislated that needs to be reviewed, and
yep.
And you want to work every 10 years, so
right.
We have to work within those frames.
Yep.
But councils have only got so much funds and the ability to go forward.
Yeah, I agree with the councillors on the other side of the room about trying to find the projected costs.
Yes.
We'll definitely have to explain to the community. But do you feel that it's going to be something that we're going to have to approach anyway?
I believe at some stage we do.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So, there is a requirement to place a new staff member up, but once again, it all depends on budgets and all that. Now, if we can't do that, that's fine.
Yeah.
No problems. We just have to work around different issues and see how we can make it work.
Okay.
Yeah.
Councillor Maxwell.
So, thanks, Councillor Brown. That actually cleared up a bit more about my thoughts on the cost issue, but there are some other issues too that need to be considered. I guess in time that will happen, but talking about getting this new person, but that new person's going to take away some of the roles of the existing staff. So what are they going to be doing in place of? For instance, a person's doing the payroll. It's a fairly large job. What are they going to be doing instead of payroll? That kind of thing. And the other thing that needs to be considered too as we go forward with this plan is we're not building roads anymore, and that outside staff needs to reflect that. So the number of staff we've got needs to reflect that as well.
Yeah.
I guess, is that going to happen in time with how we're going to actually do it and make it happen?
Well, this, like the workforce plan is an overall plan for the next 10 years, the council. We review our staffing pretty much yearly when we do budgets. As officers, we probably review our staffing, you know, every week really. And a lot of the, if we take the payroll into it, the payroll officer at the moment is working 3 days a week. This position was a full-time position. So there's, if someone's working 3 days a week, there's someone else picking up the slack with the other 2 days. So we've got a few part-time staff now, which are gelling, and there's one which is looking at understanding the rating side and also accounts. So if someone goes on leave, we're going to have this person, so that plateau is still going to be there. And in relation to the outside workforce, we review that quite regularly amongst ourselves, because really trying to attract staff and retain staff now is massive. And yeah, our staffing numbers have dropped. And we're also just looking at more a construction crew still to do prep work. But when it comes to the bitumen work, as we know, we've been contracting that out, and that seems to be working quite well. We're getting kilometres of seal done at a very good rate. And yeah, but the overall workforce plan is a 10-year document. It's a bit like the community strategic plan.
Any other questions? Everyone happy with what we've seen? All those in favour of the workforce plan, thank you, 7-0. Now we move on to the important part of the meeting, the CEO recruitment process, which has been concluded successfully. One applicant, and we've all heard from the panel. As part of the panel, we've heard from Lydia Highfield about the application she received and didn't receive, leaving with only one applicant. I invited Lydia to the meeting today, but she didn't see that there was any need to attend. So we come to the recommendation, which is from the panel. It's all before you there, but I will read it for the purpose of the recording, and that is that the CEO recruitment panel of the Shire of Beverley, having conducted the recruitment process of a chief executive officer, hereby recommends to the full council that Mr. Stephen Dolan be reappointed as CEO of the Shire of Beverley, effective from the 24th of January 2026 for an employment contract and a period to be negotiated by council. This is a recommendation from the panel. I won't ask for discussion. All those in favour, please. Thank you, 7-0. Now, implied in that recommendation, but left to the discretion. Sorry? Oh, sorry. I thought it was just a okay. Move and second. Councillor Brown, Councillor Moore. Implied in that recommendation is the need for this full council of its own volition to then determine what period the negotiation should be determine the new contract, and this is left entirely to this council. So, we can't go beyond a period of 5 years, so may I have someone to move a motion that the period be determined. We're looking at 5 years, so anyone would like to move a motion?
Can I suggest that council discusses this at the behind closed doors session?
Yes, if you wish. Yep.
Well,
everyone's agreeable. Everyone agreed. This is determined behind.
It's closed to the
next part of the meeting.
Yes.
Okay, so the motion have, sorry, the recommendation has been approved. Congratulations, Mr. CEO. And we look forward to the next term. Now, at this stage, I would like to adjourn the meeting for 5 minutes, please. Yeah, no, I just want to adjourn. Just want to adjourn because I've left all the stuff back in the office. So I'm adjourning the meeting for 5 minutes while I go and get the necessary documentation. Instead, could you just turn that off, please?